Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 15, is where we're going to continue our series from. It has been a week. It's been a great week. It's been a tiring week. And for those that are involved with Camp Joy, it's not going to slow down anytime soon. So we had VBS Sunday through Thursday. I left out Thursday to speak at a youth camp Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Drove home last night. And by the way, from the time that I left the camp until I got to Moulton, Alabama, I didn't see one fast food restaurant. Evan's like, "Daddy, I'm hungry." I'm like, "Buddy, as soon as I see a sign that I recognize, I'm not stopping at a barbecue place in a storage building." Okay, it's not happening. We're going to make it somewhere, and there will be a McDonald's or a Burger King or something, and we will eat at that point. And so it's been fun, and then we start setting up for Camp Joy Thursday, and then we bring in the kids on Monday, and then I head out for youth camp on Friday. So if I'm not gray-headed today, I will be in a couple weeks. But looking forward to all that. I hope you've been praying for those 12 decisions at VBS. Lots of conversations that we've got to have with parents, and lots of baptisms we hope to schedule. So please be praying for those and the opportunity that we have. There should be lots of visitors at our next service, as we will be doing some of the songs from VBS. So as this service, please be in prayer for our 10:30 service, that we are continue to be the light and the gospel that God calls us to be. We're continuing our series in I Am. This is the second to last. I know you are going to, I was expecting to be all, we got this week and then we got next week. And while I'm gone to summer camp, we got Joey Savelle coming back to preach. I figured y'all would enjoy hearing him again, getting away from me for just a little bit. So Joey will be coming back, sharing with us. But in this series, I want to remind y'all that we are looking at the seven I Am statements, all of them referring back to Genesis, where God meets with Moses and gives him his personal name, Yahweh, I Am Who I Am. And from that, Jesus has taken that to clarify who he is on this earth, that he is God. He is not a prophet. He is not a priest. He is not, anything that we try to make him in this day. He is the Son of God, the Son of the living God, sent to this earth to die for our sins. And we cannot limit him. We must understand that. So very quickly, let's read John chapter 15, start in verse 1, and we'll go through verse 11, and then we'll break this scripture down and see what it has to say for us. It says this: "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word in which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and gathers them and casts them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit. So to prove to be my disciples, just as the Father loves me, I also love you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you that so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full." So in here, Jesus clarifies again with the disciples. He says, "I am," and then he goes into the next aspect that he wants to teach. He says, "I am the vine," and then he starts labeling different characters of this story, all right? Clearly, Jesus is the vine. He's the grapevine, if you want to call it that, that is identified in this story. We, on the other hand, we are identified as the branches, all right? A vine, you know, with the grapevines, you have this one main shoot that comes up that provides all the nourishments, and you have the branches that grow off of that, And we are not the main shoot. We are not that which provides nutrients. We are that which receives nutrients from the main vine, which would be Jesus. And then it says in there, the gardener or the person that takes care of the vine is God the Father. And in this story, those three things are magnified to the point where it starts laying out before us exactly what we're supposed to do. You see, the main message in this scripture is carried from 1 to 11 by one word. In my translation, that one word is abide. 10 times in those 11 verses, Jesus said abide. Y'all think it's important for us to understand what Jesus is trying to say? For some of y'all's translation, it might say remain. Okay, abide, remain, stay, whatever you want to call it. So what he's saying is, it's vitally important that you understand that your job as a branch is to remain in me. There's no other thing for us to do. Yes, we are supposed to produce fruit, but producing fruit comes by abiding, remaining in the vine. We can't focus on producing fruit. To be honest with you, if you study the grapevine, you understand that grapevines within their self do not grow a lot of grapes. Because the major function of the branches are to grow. Now, when a gardener, when somebody that knows what they're knows what they're doing, comes in and prunes them in such a way, that's how they get the grapes that they need. It's not the function of the vine, it's the function of the gardener. And who do we say the gardener was in this story? God the Father. And so you start seeing that oftentimes we focus on the wrong things. We focus on what can I do? How can I grow fruit? We focus on the end product instead of the main thing. The main thing in this story is abiding, remaining. Now, there was this story, and I told it this weekend to this youth camp, and I'll tell it to y'all. There was a moment in my teenage years in which I was invited by a friend to go inner tubing. All right? Never go with a friend of a friend anywhere. I'm just going to throw that out there, okay? Because you don't know what you're getting into when you go with a friend of a friend, right? Yeah. Have anybody else been in this situation? And so we went, and we were on the river for a long time, or it was actually a lake. And the stepfather of the kid, stepfather of the friend of my friend, told us this was the last trip. And as I'm jumping in the water with my friend Ben, I hear him say something that still echoes in my subconscious. As I'm jumping in the water, my head's about to go under, I hear Ben say, "I bet you can't throw us off." And I go down, I come back up, and Ben's right there next to him. I said, "What did you just say?" And he says, "I told him he couldn't throw us off." I was like, "Have you lost your mind?" Okay? It's a hot Saturday afternoon. Sun's starting to set. This guy's been drinking adult beverages for far too long, and you don't challenge somebody in that state of mind. And when he took off, he took off. And when he turned to the left, he didn't slow down. And when he turned to the right, he didn't slow down. And there was a moment where our inner tube was hitting the ground probably every 50 feet. It just be a poof, and we're in the air, and poof. And my fingers start slipping off. And I looked at Ben, and Ben looked at me in the most serious face I've ever seen on my friend. He said, "If you let go, you will die." And so you know what I did? I mustered up every strength that I had, and I grabbed hold of that ring one more time. And the guy finally made a mistake, and the inner tube overran the boat, and it slowed down just enough for us to let go and not die. When God says, "Remain in me," the picture you should have is of me hanging on to that inner tube with absolutely everything that I have. See, this world is going to pull us away from Jesus. This world is going to cause us to want to let go. This world is going to cause us to want to go out on our own. They offer all these things that look good and all these things that we think might be beneficial. But the fact of the matter is, we have to remain in the source that offers us strength, and that source is Jesus Christ. There's nothing outside of that. So when you see these words abide, or you see these words remain, don't think it's this casual holding of hands like you have your child. It's not that. It is this grimace of pain as you're hanging on with absolutely everything that you have, because that is the job of the branches. Now, I've told y'all on multiple occasions that I'm not much of a gardener. Me and Heather have a brown thumb. It's unfortunate, but it's just the fact of the matter. She'll buy, what is it? Is it tulips you get from the baseball team? What is it? What do we buy from you, Jack? Mums? They never even flowered. They died. Put them on our front. You've got dead mums on our front porch. Not one flower came out of them. They were closed, and then they were brown. How does that happen? Okay? We buy ferns. Ferns are supposed to be the easiest thing to take care of, right? No, the branches start falling off immediately. I don't know if we overwater them, underwater them, or whatever the fact of the matter is. If you give us a fern, it'll be dead in 2 weeks. I took horticulture in high school. My plant, you have to grow a plant all semester. I picked a cactus and still killed it. I overwatered a cactus. All right. I don't know much about planting. By the way, my fruits and vegetables are doing all right this year. The Lord has his hand upon it because it's not me and Heather. But I don't know much about this. But as we have been living in our house and we're slowly trying to clean up the edge of the yard and get it looking better, I've learned that if you cut a branch off, guess what happens? It dies. Isn't that amazing? Some of y'all probably didn't know that. I don't know. But if you cut a branch off, it dies. Therefore, if we remove ourselves from Jesus, if we allow ourselves to be detached from the only source of nutrient that we got, guess what comes into our life? Nothing. People want to understand, don't understand. I don't understand why prayer is not working. I don't understand why I feel like, because you've lost connection with Jesus. Because I find, I don't know about y'all, that I can't casually hang on to Jesus and everything be okay. There are moments in life that, in which the world tries to rip you out of it. Now, God says no one can rip you from my hand, right? But somehow we can detach ourselves from the nourishment of that plant and our lives start to die. You see, it's not about losing our salvation. It's about losing our growth. The church is eat up with people that's not growing anymore. See, the job of the gardener is mentioned in verse 2. It says this, every branch of me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. So ultimately what that means is that the gardener has two jobs, and they're vitally important jobs. Again, I don't know this. I'm going off of research. Okay, it's cutting back and cutting off. It says in this scripture that there are times in our life when we got to cut dead branches off. There are things in our life that cause death and destruction. I hate to say this to you, but there's times in our life we got people we got to cut off. We got people in our lives that are causing us harm, and the best thing that we can do is trim those branches off of us. We've got hot habits and hobbies and things in our life that bring more hurt and more harm than they bring help, and there's moments in our life when they had to cut this off. We have to cut those off. Now, when I was 15 years old, you remember, I got saved when I was 15. Later in that year, a friend of mine turned 16. And once he turned 16, he started living a different type of lifestyle. He started skipping church and going and hanging out with the wrong people and doing the wrong things and being all this kind of stuff. The hardest part of my teenage years was to look at him and say, hey, we can't hang out anymore. If this is what you're going to do, we can't be friends anymore. And one day, he skips church. Driving down a dirt road with a group of people, he flips his Bronco onto his arm and peels his arm back from here to here. Has to be in the hospital for 6 months, skin grafts, all that kind of stuff. When he comes out of the hospital, you know whose living room he came to? He came to my living room. Why? Because it wasn't that I didn't love him. It's I just wasn't willing to follow him in the direction that he was going. And we were never closer than we were after he got out of the hospital. He's a pastor around Auburn. I just got done doing a camp for his church. God's using him mightily. He's had people offer to do work on his arm to make it look better, and he refuses it because he wants a constant reminder of what it takes or what it costs when you don't live for Christ. He said, why would I take away that which God gave me? There are times in our life we have to cut things off. When I was probably a sophomore in college. I know this is probably hard for y'all to understand, but I was pretty obnoxious in high school and college. Well, that wasn't a joke. What are y'all laughing about? I'm bearing my soul to y'all, and you're laughing at me, okay? I was kind of obnoxious in high school, a little obnoxious to this day, but we were playing intramural football, and I tore my ACL, mainly because I was 20 pounds heavier than the last time I ran. It's probably the reason why I did it, but I believe God put me in a position to see myself for who I was. And because I couldn't be trusted to have a Christ-like and a godly attitude on sports fields, he took that away from me for a moment and for a time. And he taught me a lesson. And that's God cutting back. All right? He didn't take it away from me completely. He just cut it back. Sometimes when branches are not in this proper shape or place that they should be, we got to cut those things back. Why? Is he doing that to punish us? Is he doing that because he's mad at us? No, he's doing that so we can produce more fruit. See, there's a difference between cutting off and cutting back. And so often we get upset with God when he cuts something back. But when he cuts something back, it should motivate us. Because if God is doing something in our life, it means something greater is going to come. I was counseling with this girl after one of my messages, and she was just struggling to basically step out in faith. She was just struggling with it. And I told her, I said, here's your problem. I said, you want everything to make sense, and you want to see a clear line between where you are and where God wants you to be. Unfortunately, there are times in life when God is a light into our path, right? But there's also times in life where God is a lamp into our feet. And he don't clearly give you the path. He just gives you that one step where you just say, okay, now what do I do? And he's just going to constantly be on your feet. And as you move forward, guess what? He lights up the path that you have to go. But it takes faith. And she just couldn't grasp that. She couldn't understand. She just couldn't get to a point where she was ready to do anything because she was so stuck up in her mind and up here. And I told her, I said, here's your problem that you don't see. God's trying to do something. And Satan's trying to stop it. I said, because I've never seen Satan attack somebody that wasn't doing anything for God. I've only ever seen Satan attack somebody who was on the verge of being used by God in a mighty way. I said, when you come to that realization, you realize it's going to take faith, it's going to take action, and then God will show up in a big way, I think something amazing is going to happen in your life. God oftentimes wants to remove branches from our life, but oftentimes he just wants to prune them back. He just wants to cut off the unnecessary area so you can produce just a little bit more fruit. You see, a grapevine that is left unpruned will expend most of his energy on growing more vine. Doesn't that sound like us? If branches left unattended long enough, we become so focused on ourselves and the growth of ourselves that we forget about the fruit. That's what God spoke to me about. Of all this that we're going over, he's like, Adam, you're so concerned with you growing that you don't even understand that I'm trying to do something in your life. Why? Because branches left unalone become selfish. The branch in a vineyard, their main purpose is to grow as long as they can. But the gardener comes in there, and he trims it. A grapevine is pruned not to harm it, but to make it more productive. God prunes us because he does not wish to harm us. He just wants to make us more productive. And a grapevine is pruned of dead branches to make living ones more healthy. We are pruned because certain things don't need to be in our lives, and we need a more healthy without them. Now, there's a part of this scripture that I've always struggled with. This has been, to be honest with you, John chapter 15 has been one of my favorite verses for a long time. But there's a verse 3 in there. It's just weird. It just, like, it was just shoved in there. And I mean, we'll start in verse 1 and we'll read again. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so that it may bear more fruit. And then he goes into this, and it just says, you are already clean because of the word in which I have spoken to you. And then right back into, abide in me. And there's this verse that just, it's just awkward. It's just weird. It just doesn't fit. Several years ago, my grandmother bought me two books. One was called The Prayer of Jabez and one was called The Vine. It was written by the same guy. And this guy did a lot of study in grapevines, went to a lot of different vineyards and discussed with their gardeners and things like that. And in this, he said, so what do you feel about verse 3? Why is verse 3 in there? It has to have some purpose or some meaning. It can't just be tucked in there for no reason. And he said, here's what happens in vineyards. On the vines closest to the path that we walk, when we walk down there and it's dry, the dust flies up and it settles on the leaves of the lower branches. I said, when the dew sets in, it causes that dust to turn into mud, and that mud turns into algae and fungus, and it starts causing the whole vine problems because of those lower branches. And so the guy writing the book says, so what do? You cut them off? And he replied, no. Those branches are far more too valuable to cut them off. He said, what we do is we take a bucket and a sponge, and we clean them off. And he says, then we take a stick, and we prop them up, and we get them out of the dirt. See, you know what verse 3 is? It's a gospel presentation. Because no matter what you got going on in your life, no matter what sin that you have there, and no matter what's causing you grief and drama, I think God would look at us and say, you're far too valuable to cut off. But I'll send somebody. I'll send somebody that can cleanse you and can prop you up with a stick, which I believe to be the cross of Calvary. And he said, from that point and from that moment, you will start to produce fruit. See, there's a calling for each and every one of us. If you're a branch and you're where you need to be, you need to remain in him. I think there's people in this room today that need to find an opportunity or a moment that they can be in prayer and say, God, help me hang on. Help me remain in you. Help me abide in your vine. Because this world is pulling me away. This world is disconnecting me, and I'm finding myself not growing in the manner in which I should grow. There's also some people in here that I could look at and say, hey, you know there are things in your life today that you need to be done with. You need to walk away from. You need to allow those things to exit your life. Because a lot of the times, be honest with me, when people come into our life and they're amazing, and then something happens, they start becoming a burden, we hang on to them more than we push them away. And we take our opportunities and we let go of the vine and we start hanging on to the dead branches. And that causes us to become just like the dead branches that we're hanging on to. There are things in the lives of people in this room in which you need to cut loose. You need to let go. There are habits, there are hobbies, there's sin in your life that is killing your plant. And if you do not cut it off, it will continue to harm your life, period. Most importantly, there's a message for people in here. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're down there in that dirt, you're down there in that mud, and you're covered with sin, you're far too valuable for him to cut you off and just cast you away. He wants to, through the cross, through the blood of himself, to cleanse you from the sin that's in your life, and he wants to prop you up. And that's the gospel presentation that you see inside of I Am the Vine. So my questions are for you, which one of those are you? I'm going to spend some time in prayer myself, and then I'll be up front, and I'd love to be able to talk with you, help you, share with you, whatever it is. But you have to be in one of those cases in which you need to pray that you remain in him. You need to cut out some branches that don't need to be there, or you need to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Y'all stand with me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.